Welcome to Real Talk JavaScript, the weekly talk show that brings you stories of real-world development from industry experts and developers like you and me. Each week, Ward Bell, Dan Wallin, Craig Shoemaker, and John Papa find out what it takes to write, deploy, and maintain apps that stand up to the demands of the real world. And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everybody, to Real Talk JavaScript. This is an episode, an amazing episode, a phenomenal episode about Nest.js. And today, to explain Nest.js and all of its inner workings, I have Craig, the comedian Shoemaker. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good. I forgot all my jokes, though, so I don't even know what to come to you with now.
That's it. You're kicked off the show. No more Craig, everybody. Sorry.
What's Dan doing today, anyways?
I don't know. Dan has some good things going on today. He had a very good excuse for not showing up today because he has family events. And family, as my dog will attest, is first.
That's right.
You can hear my dog barking in the background because he wants to be on the podcast with you, Craig.
I bet he does. We'll have to get all of our animals together and it'll be like the Real Talk JS Zoo episode or something.
That could be fun. It just occurred to me that he may not just want to be in the podcast. He may be angry still that I spilled a bottle of Gatorade on him about 15 minutes ago.
I would be, absolutely.
Yes. So he's now my purple dog. with that, let's introduce our guest today, Layeni Groner. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And for our listeners, so you can learn a little bit more about Layeni. Layeni Groner has been working with software development for 14 years and is currently working as a software engineer at Citibank. She has authored books and loves sharing content with the community. And she also has a YouTube channel where she posts video tutorials in Portuguese. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Layeni, when we were first talking a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, do we want to talk about JavaScript or Angular or backend or frontend? When you proposed this idea about talking about Nest.js, can you kind of start the show off with telling people what is Nest?
Well, Nest.js is a Node framework, so we use it to develop backend applications. It's based by default on Express. You can also use Fastify if you prefer. And Nest.js was created based on Angular concepts. If you are an Angular developer, it's much easier to develop your backend applications this way. It's also based on TypeScript, so we can get all the goodness that we have in TypeScript as well.
Right, you sound like you're doing a product pitch there. And if you act now, you can get 2 free chamois delivered to your home. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. But no, it sounds really good. So I'll be honest, I've only used Nest.js in like the demo. I've been in the Angular community for a while, like you have, and I've seen it and heard about it a lot. But I've used Express for so long, and then also things like Restify and Fastify and the Fast and the Furious and a couple other tools like that that help you build back end that I've never really had the opportunity to work with Nest. So is the real attraction to it that it's TypeScript, or like what's the main, why would somebody choose this over Express or Fastify, for example?
Yes, there are many reasons, at least for me. For example, I'm a Java developer as well in the backend, so I've always used Java, and Nest.js was the starting point where I started to take Node.js more seriously for enterprise development, because the framework provides everything that I needed for my enterprise applications. So for instance, suppose that you have to create a new Node.js plus Express application today. So usually what you're going to do, you're going to create your Node project with NPM, you're going to install your packages, and usually you're going to create a starting file, maybe index.js, app.js, server.js, whatever you want to call it. And then you're going to add your bootstrap code to start an Express application. And if you are developing an API, you're probably going to declare all your routes as well. So you're probably going to create a routes file and also a controller or service file so you can add your business logic, connect to the database, and all that. So you have to do all of that manually. So you have to create all of these else. There is nothing that to support you to create that automatically. Or you can have a starting project and basically do your copy paste. That's usually also what a lot of people do.
None of us ever do that, right? Nobody ever copies and pastes in our industry. What's wrong with you people? Come on.
And in Nest.js, the first thing that is great, it provides a CLI tool. So you have a command line tool that is very similar to the Angular CLI. And if you are familiar with Angular, Angular has a concept called schematics. So you are able to create commands, and that will allow you to create files automatically with the bootstrap code already in those files. So if you need to create a new project with Nest.js, first thing you're going to do, you're going to install the NPM package for Nest.js CLI, and you're going to create your project with the command that's provided by Nest.js. With that, you have everything in place. You have your project structure, you have your starting files, you have your package.json with all the scripts that you have in there to start the project, to test the project, to do the production build. And you also have all the testing. By default, it uses Jest. So you have all the testing already included with a single command. So you don't have any work to do that. And with the same thing, since we mentioned creating the routings and the controller services, you can create all those files with the Nest.js CLI tool. And you have all the bootstrap, all the initial code that you use. So basically, all you have to do is worry about writing your business logic. You don't have to worry about all those small things that we usually have to do whenever we are coding. So all you have to do, just write the business logic.
So it sounds like it sets a really good foundation for a basis of an app. Would you say that it's particularly well suited for one kind of app over another, or is it just create a really good starting point for just about anything?
Let's take a quick break from a word from our sponsors. Hey Ward, you know, I was building an application the other day and I pulled in this really cool UI component, but it brought along a lot of dependencies with it. How do you deal with that?
I don't like that, John. It reminds me that the AG grid, which is an advanced editable data table that we use in a lot of our enterprise apps because it addresses the complex scenarios we encounter. AG Grid doesn't have any dependencies at all.
Zero dependencies. Well, tell me, why is that good? Like, what is the value of having zero dependencies?
Well, it's wonderful not having to wonder if while I'm pulling that in, I'm also pulling jQuery in or Lodash or who knows what. In part because that's extra stuff coming over the wire. It's extra files that I don't know what they're all about. It means when my client's security team has to evaluate this, they're evaluating AG Grid and not everything else that might be slipping in under the covers or something that we have to worry about there.
You know, it's great to see this day and age, you can have a zero dependency library that does something like complex data grid functionality. So all of you out there, do check out AG Grid at their website at ag-grid.com. And we're back, and I so rudely interrupted you as you're about to answer the question. Go for it.
Well, Nest.js, there are three kinds of application that you can develop with it. I mostly use to develop APIs, but you can also use for microservices. There are also adapters that you can use and packages. You can use MQs and Apache Kafka and other transportation adapters as well for Nest.js. And the third type of application that you can also develop is standalone applications. So suppose you want to expose any kind of APIs, you just want to have a batch program running with a cron job. You can also develop those kind of applications with Nest.js.
Awesome. I feel like today's my birthday because Ward's now joined us. And I know that he's probably wearing his conference attire just to join us during this podcast. So Ward, welcome.
You're so right, Craig. Happy birthday whenever that is. So, you know, I was hearing you talk about Angular, how you use this with Angular apps. And a lot of our listeners are interested in other kinds of frameworks or application development environments. And would you say that Nest works as seamlessly with those others? Or can you comment about how people who are using things like React or Vue or Ember would be able to play with Nest?
Yes, definitely. Nest.js, it's simply a backend framework. So you can have any kind of framework that you like. The majority of the concepts that we have in Nest.js, those were based in Angular concepts, but that's it. It's just a simply Node.js backend framework. So you can use with Angular, React, Vue, even with pure JavaScript, even jQuery if you want to as well. So
there's no server-side Angular going on in here. It's just basically within the same kind of influence and culture of Angular, or the same spirit of Angular, but on the back end. Would you agree with
correct.
That?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so I gotta lean on that, because we're talking about the spirit and concepts and I'm all for, it smells like Angular spirit, as it were, but I'd like to kind of know.
Are you going to start singing that song for us?
I'm going to start any minute, but before I do, what are these key concepts and spirit that even if you detest Angular, as some in our community do, you would say, well, I like that principle. I like that concept. What are these things that, because what what I've heard so far is you've described, all the things that it does for you. And I say, that's great. It is great. It's got all of these, it's got an easier configuration mechanism. It comes out of the box with things I might like. But what is this spirit and what are these concepts that I might want to leverage, even if I'm not using Angular?
So the first one will be the Nest CLI. So you have a command line tool that you can use that is similar to Angular. So you can generate your project, you can build it, you can run the tests, you can generate all the files. And when we start talking about the files, then we can get into a little bit more of the Angular concepts, such as the first one will be a module. We're not talking about the ECMAScript modules here, but a logical way for you to organize all your files. So suppose you are developing a e-commerce. So in an e-commerce, you can have a list of products. You might want to have a module just to handle the products. And then you can have your API for that, your endpoint to access all the products. Then you might want to have an authorization module just to handle creation of users, login, and authentication and authorization, so those kind of things. And maybe you want to also have a shopping cart where you're going to handle all the logic for the shopping cart and another one just for your orders. So if you are creating a Node.js with Express without any of the other frameworks, you have the freedom to choose how you want to organize all your files. You might want to have a folder where you're going to put all your session and user authorization files, and another folder just to put all your products, or maybe we want to separate into a routes folder, services folder, and so on. So Nest, it's a little bit opinionated on that. So first thing you're going to do, you're going to create a controller. In your controller, you're going to package everything that is related to that particular module. So for instance, going back to the products example, you might want to create a products module. Inside that module, you might want to create your controller. The controller is where you're going to expose your API, and it's where you're going to handle the routing for that particular module and all the basic logic, for example, the validations, if the request is okay, and also if the user is authenticated, if the user can access that particular endpoint. You can also create services. Usually in the services is where we're going to add our business logic. It's another concept that also comes from Angular. So services also are injectable, meaning we're using dependency injection. Because we're using dependency injection, whenever we create a service, we're also going to declare that service inside that particular module through the providers. That was another concept that came from Angular. Angular no longer uses the providers, but in Nest.js, we continue using it. So if you used to work with Angular in the first versions, versions 2, 4, and 5, you were still using providers back then. So that's another one. We also have pipes. That was another concept that came from Angular. But in Next.js, pipes is what we use to transform the data. So for instance, suppose we're using JWT for authentication. So we want to extract the user from the payload. So we can use pipes, we can transform the data and get exactly what we need. So all those concepts came from Angular, and now we have something similar that can be applied to the backend with Next.js.
So let me try to say back some of what I think I heard, and correct me where I might be wrong. And I've also been kind of scanning the docs as you're talking, looking at some of these terms. Imagine I know nothing about Angular. The way I'm coming into this is I want to build an API. Like, that's the starting place for Nest, right? I want a backend. So let's say I'm building this backend API and I want to build, I don't know, orders, like you said, customers and orders. We'll just do gets for now. So I'm doing an HTTP get. The first thing I heard you say is I probably want to create a controller. Is that correct?
First thing you want to do is create a module. And after you create a module, you create a controller.
And that's kind of, I was glad you brought that up, because looking at the docs, that's where it gets a little weird for me as somebody who wouldn't know Angular, is that with Express, I would just create, you know, a route. And with the route, I could call it a controller, the function. The controller is really the function that handles the route's logic, right? So I've got a customer get route, which is a controller from the old MVC pattern, model view controller. But where does this module thing come into play? Like, what does it do? Why do I need it inside of Nest for someone who doesn't know Angular?
The good thing about modules is that you can organize all your source code. There are many types of applications that we can develop, right? So you might want to develop just an enterprise application with all your endpoints, or maybe you want to create a library as well. So with the modules, you can select exactly what you're going to keep internally to that module. So only the files, the controller, services, pipes, and whatever we create inside the module will have access to it. And we can also choose what we want to expose. So other modules might use that as well. So for instance, in a orders module, I'm not sure if there will be something that we would like to expose to other modules, maybe in an application that will make sense. However, when we're working with authorization and authentication, we might want to keep the logic inside an authorization module, and then you can expose whatever you need so the other modules can reuse that part of the logic.
Okay, that makes sense. So modules are just a way to help organize and maybe group, is a better word I could use. Encapsulate, there we go. Shove in a closet all my controller functions that I might need. And then I assume that since we're following this this policy, like if I want to get going with one of these standard APIs, I would create a module, probably need to have at least one. And if I want to do a simple app, maybe I just create one module. And then I can shove 10 to 20 controllers in that module for a very basic app to serve my gets and posts and puts. Is that kind of the bare minimum that I might need?
Yes, by default, you get a main module. If you want to, you can create all the controllers in that. But then when you start expanding your application and scaling your source code, then you might want to think about creating your module just so you can organize better the structure and the architecture of your project.
Is it mostly the structure and organization? Is it mostly for maintainability, or is there other? Is there anything technical that would really help by adding a second module?
Maintainability, and also it's going to help you to scale your code base as well, especially when we are working in big projects. That helps a lot.
Okay.
I'm going to guess, because you mentioned another thing that we use in Angular a lot that a lot of other frameworks don't, which is dependency injection. And I'm guessing you're going to tell me I'm an idiot that we need to configure dependency injection with providers, and the place that you do that is in your module. Is that approximately right?
That is correct.
Ah, okay. So I guess, you know, 50% chance of being right, and I was lucky that time it came heads up.
Because it was either there or not there, right?
Well, I don't know. It could be anywhere, but that makes sense. So people in other frameworks who are unfamiliar with dependency injection won't immediately say, "Wow, thank you for the dependency injection." Now, I happen to be one of those people who comes from a .NET and Java background where dependency injection was something we loved, and therefore to be able to have that in my server-side JavaScript world is a real plus for me.
It is nice.
And so now I'm getting that value. And yes, Angular happens to have that built in. So I can see how that's thought of as a concept adopted from Angular. So you've got the modularization with a module concept. You've got dependency injection. Was there another Angularism that you feel has great broad appeal that you were mentioning? I think I missed it.
I think you mentioned pipes. Did I mishear you on that? That's right.
Yeah. There are pipes, guards as well. We use in Angular to guard the routes. And here in Asha,
Can you talk about the guards a little bit too? Yeah, tell people how guards would work. That would be cool.
Suppose you want to secure an endpoint. So the first thing that you want to do is, of course, have what you're going to use for the authentication in place. One of the most popular approaches is to use Passport with JWT. It's also one that is mentioned in the documentation for Nest.js. So the first thing that I want to do, you want to create a guard. And in this guard, you can check if the header that you have in your request is correct, and also if it contains the information that you're looking for. So for instance, you can extract the user information, and if you want to, you can also go back to the database, make sure that the user has the correct roles to try to access that particular endpoint. So with that, we kind of create a service, an injectable service, and then when we can go back to our controller, and in the methods that we want to secure, we can add an annotation, which is a decorator that we have in TypeScript. So for those of us that used to work with Java and .NET, we usually call it annotation. So we can go back to those methods and also add that guard. So in that particular case, whenever that endpoint is evoked by the client or by any other service, it's going to validate if the request is valid. Or if you want to, you can also put it in a controller level. Or in the case, if it's something that it's more global, you can also put in the global module of your project.
So you can guard an individual route on a controller, or it sounds like you can also guard a set of routes at the module level?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, very cool. What about, there's this concept of, I'll give you a scenario. We've got an HTTP call, it's going to hit a controller. And maybe on many of these calls, we want to inspect the headers first to look for something. Or on a lot of these calls for returning it, we want to always pass back a specific header to the client browser. On every single request, the response should include a header that says, "My name is Ward Bell," you know, like some kind of an Easter egg, which would be kind of really funny to do. But if you, there's a lot of use cases for things like this. So if I wanted to do that, instead of like writing, I imagine there's got to be a way to say, you know, don't just do this in all 400 controllers. Is there ways to consolidate that kind of logic?
Yes, there is. So you can put it in your controller. You can specify the modules. You can also specify which are the controllers that you want to exclude that information from. So that is one approach. You can also create interceptors, which is another concept that we have in Angular that was also added to Nest.js. But basically, it's not something exclusive from Angular. It's actually available in any other language and framework that we have, especially for backend. So you can also create interceptors. You can use interceptors for this kind of logic that you just mentioned in case you want to get the request validated first or after you have completed executing the logic in a method. You can also have an interceptor for that. That's also really helpful for logging. So you don't want to add each log in method starts, method ends, you can also create interceptors for that. So there are different use cases.
Very cool. I imagine your ears are ringing, Mr. Bell, when we talk about interceptors, because didn't you do an amazing talk at ngConf about that before Angular?
It was amazing, John. I'm so glad that we're able to reference that.
but interceptors are really cool.
They actually are. So that's another thing where I can see an Angular influence that people would appreciate, because again, if you have to do this in raw, look, you can do all this in Express. It's just a question of whether you have consistent structures, consistent techniques running across your application. And that's the benefit of having an opinionated approach that has some consistency to it. So I think I appreciate what you're driving at there.
Do you feel like there are any rough edges or anything that kind of gets in your way or that you'd like to change about it?
In Next.js, there is only one thing that I would like to change, which is related to the dependency injection. As I'm used to using dependency injection with other backend frameworks in Java, in Next.js, I still have to declare them in the provider. So this is something that maybe in the future that could be done automatically. So for instance, if you create a service and you annotate it with the injectable declarator, and once you pass that service as a parameter, as an argument to a constructor, that's how we do dependency injection in Next.js. So maybe that dependency could be added automatically without me having to declare in the providers. Mm-hmm. That's in my personal wish list.
Speaking of wish list, I have a wish that we had a sponsor spot right now. So let's go take a quick break.
Are you building a web application? Need to deliver it soon and don't have the people to do it? Maybe you're not sure your company has the skill set or experience to do it. And maybe we can help. I'm your host, Ward Bell, and my day job is building applications for companies like yours. I don't do it alone. I'm president of IdeaBlade, a consultancy that specializes in enterprise web application development. We're particularly strong in Angular, RxJS, NGRX Redux on the front end, and .NET and Microsoft technologies on the server. We're a small, tight-knit group of people handpicked by me for their expertise, experience, integrity, and team spirit. Maybe we can help you with architectural guidance and hands-on development. And if there's something we don't know, and in our field, really, there's too much to know, we can draw on our personal connections in the Microsoft RD, MVP, and Google GDE networks, as well as our international circle of really great developers, people we know and trust personally. If you got a project that's keeping you up at night, shoot us an email at info@ideablade.com. That's info@ideablade.com. And now back to the show.
And we're back, and we were just talking about a lot of great things about Next.js, and we put a ton of these links over into the show notes page, so go check them out. A lot of great stuff in here. I've been madly typing because Lyenny has been dropping a lot of great knowledge on everybody, so definitely check these out. I even found an article on how to use Next with React and MongoDB, so some great stuff out there that people are doing with Next. And we were just talking about what you might not like. I'll tell you in my whole hour of looking at Next now, right, between previous times and today's podcast, the first thing that struck me was this. I have really started enjoying getting back to my roots in JavaScript, which is just writing functional code, writing functions instead of classes, to be very clear. And it's one thing that I don't like about Angular, frankly, and I love Angular, is that it's only classes, really. I mean, I know there's ways to do it, but it really isn't that conventional. And in Next, it looks like the controllers, I just want to create a function that returns, you know, my API. It seems like it's just class-based. Am I missing something, or is there a way to do functional, or am I just crazy because I miss functions?
We can actually use different approaches in Next.js. So mostly is object-oriented programming. But with that, we can also use functional programming and functional reactive programming as well. So another concept and another library that is very used in Angular frameworks is RxJS. So we can also use the concept of observables within Nest.js. So by default, we get the promises. We can use async await in our code. But if we want to, we can also use RxJS and have the functional reactive programming added to our project as well.
Ward knows a few things about RxJS as well.
Ward knows all. That should be the name of the podcast, by the way. And to be very serious for a moment, we tease quite a bit, but very frank, Ward does know quite a bit. So he well, is our go-to
I know enough
person.
To be dangerous. I know enough to be dangerous. I feel you, John, on your question, though, about, you know, about how Angular kind of forced us down the road of classes and object orientation. And there are times when I regret that, like that was my biggest objection before back,
yes,
you know, years ago. But it is what it is. And it's not the worst thing in the world to have classes. It's probably down there about 10 on the list of worst things in the world. So it's got a ways to go.
If that's the worst thing about Angular, then I think we're doing okay, or Nest either,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And all, by the way, all the other application frameworks have found themselves using classes too. It's just that you have the option to represent some things in functions. And, you know, without the experience, I'm not hearing you say that you're having a hard time with Nest because your top level concept is a class. I wouldn't believe it if somebody told me that that was the reason that they weren't going to use something.
One of the aspects that we haven't talked about much yet is middleware. And I know like Express has like a large ecosystem of middleware. What does that look like and what's available for Nest?
Yeah. So in Nest.js, we also have the concept of middleware. You can also create your custom middleware. So by default, Nest.js is going to handle everything for you. But if you like to, you can also add your custom middleware. There are also a few things that we can add into Nest.js whenever we are handling our endpoints. For instance, usually whenever we are creating enterprise applications, we create our entity models to map whatever data we want to retrieve or save into the database. One of the things that we have in Nest.js is also the support to different frameworks that we can use to connect to the database. For example, the two most popular ones are TypeOrm and also SQLize. I'm a big fan of TypeOrm because I'm a Hibernate developer as well that is also present in the C# and Java world. So once I started...
Did you say Hibernate?
Yes.
Yeah, Hibernate.
Wow. I haven't heard of Hibernate in a while. Can you... Wow. I think it's been hibernating. Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum.
Sorry for
that
joke.
Don't let him abuse you like that. Hibernate is right out there. You know, we tend to use SQLize more in my universe or Entity Framework if you're in the .NET world. But I assume that you have adapters for all that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
We do. So we have adapter for all of that. And even GraphQL, some of the more modern stacks that we have in the world. So we can also use GraphQL and so many other things for connect to MQs and even sourcing and many other more. So for me, it's really a complete world. To whatever you need to develop your application, you can definitely find a package in the Nest.js world to satisfy whatever it is your requirement.
Well, I want to follow up on where Craig was going there, which is, let's suppose I had this great thing that I wrote, a great piece of middleware in the Express world, and I'm trying to get into the Nest world, and I want to take that code and use it. You know, like it bakes bread for me or does something a little unusual, it'd be hard to reproduce. Is there a natural way to take something, a middleware that was written in Express and adapt it to Nest?
Yes, there is. So by default, Nest.js has its own middleware, but there is an interface that you can implement. And then by implementing that interface, you add whatever logic that you want to. So you can add that middleware in your controller or in your module, whatever you need to.
Cool. So Leanne, I want to thank you for coming on today. I don't think any of the three of us have used Nest.js more than just demos at this point. Do I have that right, Warden, Craig?
That is correct.
That is correct. I have seen presentations of it, and I liked the way it was facile and playful. And I said, that's going on my list of things to try. And then, like many things on that list, it kind of went to the wayside. So I'm very grateful for your coming on here and reminding me maybe to bump that up the list.
Yeah, I'm definitely more interested in it, I got to be honest, after talking with you than what I was before talking with you. So I'm going to go check it out a little bit more myself. I'm a big fan of backend frameworks. And in fact, oh my gosh, about 8 years ago, I had to do a project where we had to evaluate the top 20 backend tools to build an API with Node. And at the time, there was things like you've heard today, like Express and Restify and Koa and Happy and a couple others. But there were like 15 others that I have forgotten because I think they've all disappeared. There was no Nest at the time, though, so that would have been an interesting one to look at. But I definitely want to take a look now and see kind of how that works out. Thank you for coming on, and we'd like to end the show with a final thought for all of our listeners. And while Ward's thinking of his, say, I'm thinking of you, Ward, I will go ahead and start with Craig. What is your final thought for our listeners today?
My final thought is that I'm just really grateful for friendships and personal connection at a time when it's kind of hard to do that. And so just being able to be close to people, whether it's through text or phone calls or whatever, it's something I'm really grateful for.
What is this friend thing you speak of?
I'll send you a dictionary definition of it and let you know.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go get some of those. Ward, what is your final thought for our listeners?
People know what's going on in the world right now as we're recording this, and it's been very hard to have any other thoughts. Other than that, I wish you all peace. And that's just what's uppermost in my mind at the moment.
That's a good thought for everybody. Leanne, what is your final thought?
I'm really happy just to be here with the three of you, and such a big honor for me. I'm such a fan of the podcast. So again, thank you very much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. And folks, definitely check out a lot of Leanne's work out on the internet. I've seen her speak before, I've read her articles, and she's just really, really knowledgeable in the area of JavaScript in general. So I didn't even know you were into Java too. So we should go have a chat about that sometime. We could do the Real Talk Java podcast, and then you could really school me because I've done like 2 weeks of Java. So my final thought for all you out there is definitely follow the advice of our friends here. Get a friend, according to Craig, and have some peace with your friend, according to Ward. So I hope you all have a good time, and thank you for listening to us, and you'll hear from us every Tuesday morning. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk JavaScript. This show and all of our shows are available at www.realtalkjs.com with links and notes. John and Ward would love to hear what you think, especially about potential guests and topics for future shows. Follow and send them a message on Twitter @RealTalkJS.